Clove opens her jacket. It's lined with an impressive array of knives. She carefully selects an almost dainty-looking number with a cruel curved blade. I promised Cato, if he let me have you, I'd give the audience a good show. I'm struggling now in an effort to unseat her, but it's no use. She's too heavy, and her lock on me too tight. Forget it, District 12. We're going to kill you, just like we did your pathetic little ally. What was her name? The one who hopped around in the trees. Rue? Well, first Rue, then you. And then I think we'll just let nature take care of Lover Boy. How does that sound? Clove asks. Now, where to start? She carelessly wipes away the blood from my wound with her jacket sleeve. For a moment, she surveys my face, tilting it from side to side, as if it's a block of wood and she's deciding exactly what pattern to carve on it. I attempt to bite her hand, but she grabs the hair on the top of my head, forcing me back to the ground. I think, she almost purrs, I think we'll start with your mouth. I clamp my teeth together as she teasingly traces the outline of my lips with the tip of the blade. I won't close my eyes. The comment about Rue has filled me with fury, enough fury, I think, to die with some dignity. As my last act of defiance, I will stare her down as long as I can see, which will probably not be an extended period of time, but I will stare her down. I will not cry out. I will die, in my own small way, undefeated. Yes, I don't think you'll have much use for your lips anymore. Wanna blow Lover Boy one last kiss? She asks. I work up a mouthful of blood and saliva and spit it in her face. She flushes with rage. All right, then. Let's get started. I brace myself for the agony that's sure to follow. But as I feel the tip open the first cut at my lip, some great force yanks Clove from my body, and then she's screaming. I'm too stunned at first, too unable to process what has happened. Has PETA somehow come to my rescue? Have the game makers sent in some wild animal to add to the fun? Has a hovercraft inexplicably plucked her into the air? But when I push myself up on my numb arms, I see it's none of the above. Clove is dangling a foot off the ground, imprisoned in Thresh's arms. I let out a gasp, seeing him like that, towering over me, holding Clove like a rag doll. I remember him as big, but he seems more massive, more powerful than I even recall. If anything, he seems to have gained weight in the arena. He flips Clove around and flings her onto the ground. When he shouts, I jump, never having heard him speak above a mutter.
What'd you do to that little girl? You kill her?
Clove is scrambling backward on all fours, like a frantic insect, too shocked to even call for Cato.
No, no, it wasn't me.
You said her name. I heard you. You kill her?
Another thought brings a fresh wave of rage to his features.
You cut her up like you were going to cut up this girl here?
No, no, I...
Clove sees the stone, about the size of a small loaf of bread, in Thresh's hand, and loses it.
Cato!
She screeches, Cato!
Clove!
I hear Cato's answer, but he's too far away. I can tell that much to do her any good. What was he doing? Trying to get Foxface or PETA? Or had he been lying in wait for Thresh and just badly misjudged his location? Thresh brings the rock down hard against Clove's temple. It's not bleeding, but I can see the dent in her skull, and I know that she's a goner. There's still life in her now, though, in the rapid rise and fall of her chest, the low moan escaping her lips.